Let me get into it. I want to start this morning. I want to speak about the fact that God's kingdom is at hand. But I want to start with talking about a movie that came out. I think this movie is like decades old already. It's a movie called Tombstone. I never actually saw it, but I will tell you about it. And I don't know if any of you saw it. It's a cowboy movie. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, those kind of guys were in it. And anyway, but it was based on a true story of actually something that happened at a particular town called Tombstone. And there was a guy, the main guy, Kurt Russell over there, his name in the movie is Wyatt Earp. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, he arrives in Tombstone. He's not a sheriff. He doesn't want to be a sheriff. And he tells the people that he's done with law enforcement. And he just wants to make money and live sort of like a peaceful life. But there's a big problem in this town. And for those of you who've seen the movie, the town is controlled, really, by a gang, an outlawed gang, a violent gang called the Cowboys. And they wear these red sashes to identify themselves. And they walk around like they own the town, literally like they're just intimidating. And so they intimidate citizens all the time. They swagger through town. They carry their guns, very visible. And they act like they're above the law. And then the local authorities, the local sheriff and law enforcement is actually too weak to handle these guys. So they kind of like get away with doing a lot of bad things. Mocking people, beating people up whenever they want to, that type of thing. And so there's this tension that starts building throughout the movie because these cowboys, this gang, they're provoking trouble wherever they go and they continue to threaten people. They carry like a lot of weapons, even although people are not supposed to carry weapons. And there's a new law that comes into town that says you mustn't carry, and these guys are carrying weapons. And eventually they cross the line because the law enforcement suddenly says, okay, now it's a rule. You can't carry weapons in public town openly anymore. And they defiantly walk into town with their guns. And so something of like a confrontation starts to happen. This guy, Wyatt, he can't stand this anymore. He can't stand this intimidation, what's happening, what he sees. Something has to change. And he's got two brothers. And him and his two brothers decide they have to stand up to these bullies, in a sense. They have to enforce the law. And so there's this scene where the three brothers and another guy called Doc Holliday, they walk through town they're going to go face off with this gang, with the cowboys. And this walk is like towards the end of the movie. It's one of the most memorable times in the movie because it's a time of reckoning. And as they walk down the street, and I watched a few YouTube clips just to like sort of get into the mood of it, you see people scattering into the sides, like just peering through the curtains. They're all scared because they know you can't just go and intimidate. You can't go and threaten the cowboys. This gang, you can't. And so, but these guys, they've had enough. And they're walking, and they're calm, they're determined, they're purposeful. Everyone's watching them. Everyone knows that something is about to happen. But the message is clear. Authorities finally confronting lawlessness. And so they eventually meet up with the gang. The gang is behind this building. And Wyatt, the main leader, he is the second from the right. And he's the leader, and he demands for this gang to hand over their weapons. And as he does that, the tension is thick and everyone starts standing, in cowboy movies, they start facing each other like this and their hands are twitching. and they're giving each other the eyebrow. And like, something's about to happen. no one moves. And then suddenly, there's a gunfight and there's just shooting all over. You don't know what's going on. And in it, quite a whole bunch of these gang members are killed. And some of the brothers also are wounded. But the message in the movie is clear. The balance of power has begun to shift. Easy intimidation is not going to be part of what's going to be happening in this town anymore. And why I told you that story is because actually Jesus had a very similar moment. And I want to tell you about that moment today. So if we could go to that next image. Jesus rides into town. And and Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." In a sense, he's saying, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in town. The true authority has arrived. Therefore, repent and believe. It kind of means that life in this town cannot continue the way that it always has. Things are changing. And so I want to go through that verse with you, just like section, just one section at a time. And I want to see, like, what does this mean? And really where this preach is coming from, that's all built on theology of the kingdom of God. So right there is the announcement. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what I want to look at. I feel like everything we've been speaking about over the last few weeks, if we can understand what the kingdom of God is and how it operates and how it comes, how it confronts darkness, we will start being different. So I remember doing I studied theology on this probably 25 years ago, and it's really changed me ever since. And so it's always actually coming through in things that I'm preaching, this understanding. So he starts off by saying the time is fulfilled. Well, what time is fulfilled? Well, the prophets had been speaking. They had forewarned that someone would come. And it was a decisive, appointed moment in God's plan. It was a long-promised moment of redemption that has finally arrived. And so the promised Messiah had arrived in this moment. And so, you know, just one of the many scriptures of, you know, there's quite a lot of like prophetic words about a Messiah that would come. One of them is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born." Isaiah was seeing this hundreds of years in advance. A child is born. A child is very weak and vulnerable. But this child, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He's going to carry authority. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. It's like, what a powerful verse. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And there are other prophetic words that came as well that spoke about a coming ruler who would come, and he's from ancient days, and he would come and he would establish God's rule. And so basically, the time is fulfilled is saying the Messiah has arrived. Everything that you've been waiting for is now happening. And so the kingdom of God is at hand. And just to break that up a little bit, the kingdom of God, well, you know, we've got the kingdom of darkness. We read about that in the Bible. The kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. It's the kingdoms of this world, actually under the kingdom of darkness, which is the devil and his kingdom and his demonic forces and all of their destruction. But when it says the kingdom of God is at hand, this is a new kingdom that's coming. But on earth, kingdoms are always like territorial places. But the kingdom of God is not a territory. It's not a place you can go and find. It's wherever God rules. It's his rule. It's the king is coming and he's bringing like a new era, a new way of doing things, a new authority. And wherever he rules, well, that's where the kingdom is. So it's the active rule of God manifested through Jesus. And he says the kingdom of God is at hand. It's no longer distant in the future. It has arrived. So when he says it's at hand, it means it's something that is long expected is now pressing into the present moment in Jesus. So the kingdom is near because Jesus was near. Jesus has arrived. And where the king is, that's where the kingdom is present. And so with the kingdom comes everything that that king has. So God's power comes with Jesus, with the kingdom being at hand, all of the power of heaven comes. God's power comes and it begins to overthrow darkness. In a sense, the outlaws, the demonic forces of the day, they've had their time is up. And so he starts immediately saying the kingdom is here. Now your job is to repent and believe the gospel, the good news. And it's and even as he says repent and believe, it's like a confrontation. It's like the new sheriff just saying to everyone, guys, you, like I'm here now, so now you need to decide. Are you with the outlaws or are you with me? Repent, turn, repent and believe the gospel. It's a confrontation of a king announcing his rule. It's authoritative, it's unavoidable. And whenever true authority arrives, it confronts whatever authority was there before. That's kind of what's happening. And so this word repent is, it's a wonderful word for us to unpack and to understand, because to enter God's kingdom, we have to repent, which means, the word literally means, it doesn't mean cry. It doesn't mean like be sorry. It means to think differently to before. It means to change your mind, to turn direction. So it's to abandon rebellion that I was under, and it's to submit now to God's rule. That's what it means. It's turning around. I don't just turn around, but I turn around because I've woken up. I've woken up and seen that there's something new. And so, you know, you can't come into God's kingdom if you're still ruling your own life. That's also kind of what it's saying. Repent from everything that you've known. Turn. And it's like you need to step down from the throne of your own life and come underneath the new sheriff, in a sense, under the new king. So, you know, Mark 1:15 isn't the only place where we read that Jesus starts off by saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's also, for me, very interesting that this is how he starts. The first public words he basically says in his ministry is repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we also read about it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so repentance is like this waking up. It's like you see all the people around that we were part of them one day. Maybe some of us today are even in that place where we're in darkness. It's almost like a zombie, you know, kind of just going through life, not awake to God's world, living in the shadow of death. And when Jesus makes this command, repent because I'm here. Repent because I'm brought my world with me, in a sense. My kingdom is here. It's like waking up. It's coming out of that slumber. And, you know, I was just thinking about that and how I can recall. I got saved quite young, and my life wasn't very deep into darkness yet. It would have if I hadn't gotten saved. But yet, even in that place, I remember this thing of almost like not being awake to God, not understanding Him at all, not getting, even although I was in church, I didn't get the Lord. I was living in the shadow of death. Every day I was just living for myself. I was a schoolboy, 16 years old, 15 years old, no vision, just concerned for myself. Just every day waking up, living for myself. It's just me, it's just my problems. And so living like that means just give me thrills and pleasure, because that's all that there is. There's no vision, there's no living for something better. So, and that's what it's like for people who are not yet saved. Or for even for Christians who are saved but have started like losing their way again and allowed the clouds to sort of come over them. And it's like the shadow of death. It's spiritual blindness. It's confusion about God and who He is and His character. And it's bondage to sin. And it's domination eventually by demonic forces. It's the shadow of death. There's nothing good in the shadow of death. And the zombie state, it's like a zombie state, is when people, they live long enough in the darkness to stop noticing it. They move through life half awake. They're alive, but they're spiritually numb. That kind of sums up who I was before I met the Lord, and I think who many people are today. Psalm 143 says this, "For the enemy has pursued my soul." This is describing someone in this place. "He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead." And often for people, they've been living in darkness so long that they've forgotten what the light looks like. And then suddenly, as Jesus comes and he says these things, it's like the light is suddenly dawning. That's what that scripture is saying. It's saying, for those who've dwelt in darkness, they've suddenly seen a great light. And on them, light has dawned. And so suddenly the kingdom of God is dawning. It's the sun's coming up. I was blind to who God is. I was blind to his glory. I was blind to his power. I was blind to his holiness, to his love. And so when Jesus comes, he preaches a very sort of, it's like an awakening preach. He goes, repent, wake up, change your mind, turn your direction to a new reality, to a new authority, to a new law. Abandon the way that you've lived before, walk away from the old. And I remember as I was sort of starting to come towards the Lord, thinking to myself, I want to change, but where am I going to get the power to change? Because I can't feel it within me. I don't have the power to change. That is probably one of the things that really, because I tried to change so many times. And I remember that just being like, I want to give my life to the Lord, but I don't think I can change my life around. Where will the power come from? The power is from the kingdom of God that is at hand. When the new kingdom comes, when that light shines, it penetrates the darkness. And my life did change. And so I heard a preacher once say this, if we don't repent, taking the meaning of that word, if we don't wake up from our slumber, if we don't change the way we think, we will continue to think that what we see around us, the world around us, is the superior reality. And for me, that really just had a lot of meaning, because there as is actually in the invisible realm, there's another kingdom that is now at hand. And I need to wake up to actually start seeing that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so there's a new authority, there's a new kingdom with a new king. Actually, in fact, not a new king. He's the king that's always been there, but he's now revealed. The time is fulfilled, and here he is. And so in Isaiah 42, verse 16, let's just read that together. It says, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. I just love that picture so much. I've actually made that my screensaver because it just gives me so much hope. You know, people don't have to stay in the darkness. They don't have to stay in the shadows anymore. Jesus is there, and the kingdom is at hand. And so, you know, that verse that I started off on, Mark 1:15, he makes the statement. Well, what I want to do now, just for the next sort of 10 minutes or so, is I want to just carry on going through the book of Mark. If the kingdom of God is at hand, well, is there evidence that things started to change as we continue just reading through Mark chapter 1. And for any of you who know about the book of Mark, it's one of those books where there is a lot of things that immediately start to happen. Okay, so firstly, Jesus calls new disciples. So in Mark chapter 1, 16, it says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. So all I would like to say about this, is this evidence of the kingdom of God? What happened here? Well, I don't know if any of you normally leave everything behind to follow a complete stranger that you've never met before. And if someone like this did come your way and tell you to leave your job and everything and to follow him, you would probably like, or someone in the world would just curse the guy. Or, you know, we might just think, this is a freak. Just get out of here, you know. I haven't got time for this. And for these fishermen to respond, there's such authority in his words that it compels them. They don't debate about it. They don't pray about it. They leave behind everything. They drop their nets. They reorder their lives. They align themselves under the king. There's something they must have recognized, the voice of a new king. And so for me, this is This is evidence. Their behavior here is evidence that a new authority was in time. Secondly, we continue to read that Jesus goes to the synagogue and he starts teaching in Mark 1:22. And it says, and they were astonished. As Jesus used the they, it's all the people in the synagogue. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And I just looked at this word astonished. I thought, let me just look a bit deeper. What is, like, how often is this word used in the New Testament? Well, it's used 13 times. 12 of the times, it describes the reaction of people around Jesus. And then the one time that it's not directly people reacting to Jesus, it's when Paul is preaching about Jesus and people are also astonished. So it's actually always about Jesus. And the idea, it's not just surprise. People aren't just surprised as he teaches or as he does things, as he does miracles. When it says they're astonished, it's kind of a reaction where someone is mentally stunned and overwhelmed. So wherever Jesus goes, for me, this is really precious. I was just thinking, wherever Jesus goes, people were stunned. People were overwhelmed. Their worlds, their whole understanding of everything they knew was getting undone. I think what makes it so striking for me as well is always knowing that Jesus came looking like ordinary Joe. He just didn't. There's nothing special about him. Yet when he spoke, people just, they fell to their knees. Like for many of them, some resisted. But, you know, so Jesus teaches in synagogues where the word has been taught every single week by scribes and Pharisees. But the scribes and Pharisees would often quote other authorities. They would say, Rabbi so-and-so says this, or, you know, according to traditions of our fathers, this is how we should do things. And the authority came very much secondhand. But when Jesus preached, he would use himself as the highest authority. And he would say, you've heard that it was said we must do this and this. But I say to you, this is the way we're going to go. And so he was claiming to be the highest authority. And when people heard him speak, when they heard his authority, when they experienced the power of his words and of who he was, they were overwhelmed by him. Again, for me, this is a piece of evidence. I'll give it a tick. In the court of law, if I was making a case, I believe Mark is making a case. Yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. Things are happening. Just a verse later, in the same synagogue, we see that demons recognize his authority. And it says, and immediately there in that synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And so, just to say, the demons are spiritual creatures, actually. And they were once in God's presence before they were fallen. They knew who God was. They knew his power and authority. Now they've fallen. And they see very clearly into the spiritual realm. Us as people, there's a lot of veils. And so a lot of people didn't even know, they didn't even see anything special about Jesus. But the demons, when they encountered him, when they heard, they came undone. They immediately came under the fear of God because they could see clearly that, and they said, you are the Holy One of God. And so for me, that's a massive sign again that the kingdom of God had come, because the demons are like those cowboys who were controlling and intimidating the town, causing destruction, but they clearly recognize the new authority. The kingdom of God is at hand. More evidence. Then we see a few verses later, Jesus goes with his disciples into Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is sick. And it says that Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And again, you know, the people around Jesus are starting to see his authority. These are not just words. Like actual things are happening. There's like reality is changing around them. Sickness, loses its grip. It says the fever left. It's almost as if the fever has its mind of its own. And the fever itself bows down and decides to move off. And Simon's mother-in-law is freed from this sickness. Again, more evidence. And then like the last one that I want to point out for today is that people begin to recognize the new king just all over. In verse 32, it says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered. For me, that's a piece of evidence right there. Why were people gathering? It's because they recognize something new is happening. There's a new authority, and not only are we gathering together in inquisitive because they're inquisitive, but they're bringing all of their sick and oppressed. They're bringing them because they're going, yes, someone who can help us. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Lots of evidence immediately in this first chapter of Mark showing us that Jesus had arrived. And, you know, authority attracts attention. And again, like that picture we saw of the four men walking down the street to confront lawlessness. You know, the whole town, they all noticed. They were looking from behind their curtains. They were wondering what is going to happen. And I think it's very similar to what Jesus did. Yeah, his authority is undeniable. People are realizing something new is happening. There's a greater power that's come to town. Sin, sickness, and darkness have to flee. And so the whole city gathers because the new king, he's got amazing power and he's got a kind heart and he's here to help the people. And really what the Lord, I believe, what he wants us to know, what he wants us as a body to carry is this, that wherever Jesus reigns today, the same kingdom power is still available. It came in Jesus, and it didn't stop. So a few months ago, I did a talk on cessationism. Cessationism says, no, when Jesus and the apostles left, then it stopped. And we're going, no, it hasn't stopped. He's left it now for the church to continue to penetrate the darkness. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church because the church is advancing against the darkness. And so it's the gates of hell, not the gates of the church, that are protecting against. That's often how people see it. The church must just hold on against the attacking hordes of the devil. And in that mindset, we're seeing that the devil is much stronger than we are, and we just have to hold on. But Jesus is saying the gates of hell will not be able to defend against the advancing church. And so darkness starts to lose its grip. And when I preach like this, when you start to get this understanding, the whole way of doing Christianity, of doing church, starts to change. Because we start coming to our meetings with hope in our hearts, with faith in our hearts that God's light is stronger than darkness. And when we come together, sin can lose its power. People can get saved. The Holy Spirit can fill people. Lives can be transformed every Sunday. On Wednesdays, when we meet together, even in the streets, as we go out with his message in our hearts.